What's the phone number there?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. I'm
okay.
Not going to tell anybody. But thank you for listening. And this is a show about your garden, your landscaping. And if you have any questions, 673-4464. Anything you want to ask about is fair game. And if I don't know it, I'll say, hey, I don't know it, but I know most things. So just give me a call and test me, huh?
Please do.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't like to talk to each other.
No, we can't stand one another. Well, did you know that you could be an inspiration to your neighbors?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be. You know,
my dad was.
Yeah, I'll bet. But by making your yard a showplace of color and unique shrubs, you could turn your street into a landscape that catches their attention and motivates them to create their own showplace. And I know that from experience because I did it as my old house in Roseburg. It only took me 4 years to do it, but it did.
Oh, cool.
But by planting, you know, colorful shrubs and trees will cause other folks to ask questions. And, you know, like, where'd you get those trees? Or what kind of trees are they? Mm-hmm. And do they always bloom like that? And are they fruit trees? You know, there's so many questions that your neighbors will ask. They'll come over and say, gosh, that's beautiful. And you know, you can tell
how
them
can
what
I
it
do
is
that?
And how to do it and where you got it and how much it cost and, you know, what it does in the, you know, is it evergreen or does it lose its leaves? You know, just give them a brief synopsis of the shrub or the tree. And, you know, they get interested, and next thing you know, they got a hedge of them or something. All
nice.
Planted too close together, of course. But you
monkey
know,
see, monkey do.
Yeah, but that's good. It really jazzes up a neighborhood, though.
Sure, sure.
You know? And the newer homes nowadays, in the last, say, 20-some-odd years or more, when the building explosion was kind of hitting us and there were, 30 new homes in one area or something like that. You know, the first one that did the landscaping kind of got their yard all gussied up and looking good. And then, you know, in no time at all, you can see the the rest of the street doing one thing or another. And pretty soon all 30 houses within, you know, the next couple of years has some sort of landscaping done. And some, you know, were professional and some were just the homeowner doing it. But even in the homeowner jobs, they were, you know, very, very compatible and looked good. And it changes the whole complex of the neighborhood. I mean, it's there's good feeling there and people
want to take care of it.
Yeah, they want to take care of it because it adds so much value to your home.
Right.
Because if you're going to, say, buy something and with an idea of maybe within 10 years or something like that, you're going to sell, well, you want it to look really good. And if a realtor is bringing some clients over and they pull in, the first thing they see is this beautiful landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some instances, in some neighborhoods, all they see is, wow, look at all that brush out front. I have to clean it. It'd take me 2 years to clean that up.
Stinking trash cans all over.
Yeah. But, you know, by planting, you know, the colorful shrubs and trees, and they all got their own type of beauty. And it's just going to cause, like, your neighbors and other folks to ask questions and want to visit your yard, want to walk around with you and say, hey, why did you do that? Or how do you do that? Yeah. And then they just want to see what you've accomplished and how you've accomplished that transformation from bare dirt, bare ground to, wow, we got a sod lawn, we got some sprinklers maybe, and we got, you know, two or three fruit trees in the backyard and a couple of shade trees in the front yard and a whole host of rhododendrons and azaleas, and bingo, that's all it takes. And if you do it over a time period, you know, you don't have to do it all in one fell swoop unless you want to hire a professional to do it. You know, you can take 6 months, 8 months, a year to kind of bring it all into the finished product. And oftentimes a new homeowner has to learn, and that's why I'm on the show.
Yeah.
They have to learn what's available, what does well in this county, in this Southern Oregon climate that we have.
And you're definitely a pillar of the community.
A pillar?
A pillar. That's a good thing.
Oh, is that? It's not a tree, huh? A pillar's not a tree?
No, it's a strong, mighty.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about a pillar tree. I never heard of a pillar
tree. I didn't
know
there was a pillar tree.
There isn't. That's why I was questioning you, man. But I know how this works because when I started renting my first house, it was like, you know, small two-bedroom old house with an overgrown jungle for a yard. And, I mean, it was overgrown. The older couple that had lived there had passed away. And the house had sat vacant for, 6 months or more.
Oh, Lord.
And the closest relative was a son that lived in Sacramento.
Oh, that's close.
So, consequently, he didn't come up every weekend and work on the yard or anything like that. They were just happy to rent it. And I was pretty busy going to college out at Umpqua and kind of trying to clean up a little bit here and there and get some of my friends to help me if they were bored. They were never bored. I don't know.
No, I can't understand that.
But it took a while to get it all cleaned up, and you know, the jungle began to disappear. And my yard had, you know, many more plants than was needed. And, of course, when the folks that were living there previously, they were real gardeners in the sense that they loved plants. So they had a lot of different types. And I've already talked about my rose hedge that went the length of my entire front property.
In and around and under?
Oh, my goodness gracious, yeah. And that's just the hedge out front. The roses around the house were like they were like trees, but they weren't tree roses. They had been in there so long they had grown up over the roof and stuff. Those kind. So mine was not the impressive example that you would want to brag about and say, "Hey neighbors, look at my house. How pretty is that?"
See, I didn't do anything.
I didn't do a thing. All I had to do was move in. Jeez Louise. But I'd say my first yard had probably 10 times as many plants as actually needed, and all of them had grown very, very well and were very, very large. So, like I said, it took me 2 years just to thin it and prune it and remove all the ugly plants. And as time went on, my neighbor across the street, old Harry Hill, he owned Hill's shoe.
On Harvard there?
Downtown.
Downtown, yeah. Okay.
And and he began to be my friend because he had a pretty nice yard. It was my front yard was probably 10 times larger than his front yard, the way the house was built. And he had a cute little lawn and a couple of nice shrubs and a couple of nice trees. And it was neat and clean. And it took him, 20 minutes a week to keep it that way. when I first moved in, he said, "What are you going to do with all this stuff?" And I said, "Well, I got to, work it and clean it and do all these. Boy, you got a lot of work ahead of you." I said, "Yeah, I know that, Harry." But, after 2 years, like I say, just thinning and pruning and hauling. Oh, gosh, I hauled so much away in this little old pickup I had and removed all the ugly stuff. Then old Harry began to notice my work and said, "Hey, Mike, it's looking good over here." And I wasn't near finished, I'll tell you that. I was on the route, but not near finished at all. Because I hadn't touched the backyard yet, and that was the blackberry patch.
Oh, glory.
See, because the backyard was flat for about 25 feet, and then there was a slope.
Uh-huh.
And on the slope, it was nothing but blackberries.
They love that, don't they?
Yeah, and they must have been 100 years old. I mean, you could have hidden in there and made caves in the thing. It was so big.
Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, and they kept trying to get into the yard, and I kept whacking them back. And finally, I eliminated a lot of it, not all of it, because it wasn't on my property. And my neighbors didn't care. They were clapping. They said, "Oh, God, it's
do it, do it.
Hey, take that out, man." But, like I say, after I took out about 50% of the shrubs that were dead or overgrown in their locations, you could actually see the house. And then
imagine that.
And that was the mistake because then I had to paint it.
Oh, no.
No. But those plants that I left, I pruned very dramatically. I was not an expert in pruning at the time. I knew about pruning and I knew how to prune. But I was vicious, and I thought, if it doesn't come back, good. I'll dig it up and throw it away. You know, that kind of. But the problem was they all came back.
They loved
those pruning, and they all survived, and they all began to bloom.
Oh, no.
And all the roses and gosh, I had lilacs. I had lilacs that, you know, they're supposed to be a shrub. Well, these guys were.
Wow.
They had 5-inch diameter trunks, and they were, you know, 15 feet tall. And,
good Lord.
Yeah. I mean, they were just huge things.
Oh.
Plus all the fruit trees. There was.
I'd forgotten about those.
Yeah. On the far side of my driveway, there was practically an orchard. I think there was five apple trees in there.
Nice.
And this is a normal size yard. It could have, three would have been maximum, but there was five. So I learned.
Did you ever get any apples or anything?
Oh,
from
gosh,
it?
They were always loaded with apples.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was amazing. And that was the last part of my yard that I attacked. And I took out a couple, and people in the neighborhood were noticing that, too. And why'd you do that? Well, I said, they're too close together, and they're this and this and this. And I finally got the pruning technique down and did that and got them where they were healthier. And
well,
but
sure.
they had been in, gosh, I'll bet you 25 years, something like that. But they were semi-dwarf, so they weren't huge, but they were, you know, before I pruned them, they were a good 15, 16 feet tall.
Good. That,
so I pruned them down to about eight.
About half.
7 or 8 feet, yeah.
Yeah.
And it did very, very well. And that's when I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was just disgusted with how large they were.
What it looked like.
And I wanted to get them down. So if you have that problem, don't be afraid to cut. It's okay.
I was going to say down to the roots.
No, I think they would come back probably.
Probably.
But, you know, after all that pruning and all that thinning, you know, most of these shrubs, they all survived. And they began to bloom, and they were gorgeous, and even the roses that I took off the roof, they were beautiful. They did well. So I just automatically said, every year that I live here, I'm gonna have to knock these down. And I've talked about my rose hedge, who was in the front of the house, 80 feet long,
yep.
And I let it grow a couple of years without pruning, and it got about 8 feet tall. But the problem was, it was flopping out. It was they were so tall, and they had so many leaves on the top that they weren't tight. They were flopping outward and just kind of hanging out, and they were ugly. So I said, well, I'll get rid of them. And I've told this story before, too. I took my chainsaw out there, and I cut them down to the ground. I mean, flat to the ground. I said, ha, you're dead. Wrong. Within a month, there was new shoots coming up. And and like I said, it was about 80 feet long, and new shoots. And I thought I killed this thing. No,
wrong.
You can't kill a rose. Not that rose for sure.
Is that the place you tried burning them, or was that somebody's field?
No, I tried burning them, but that didn't work either.
I didn't either.
No, I rented one of them big blow torches and tried it, and yeah.
They still came back?
Well, yeah, because I couldn't burn the roots out.
Oh.
You know, and I.
Oh, no.
So, and it was, when you burn, you're doing it in this kind of weather where it's cold,
right,
cold
right.
and rainy. So, consequently, didn't get a good burn.
Okay.
We got a break?
We do.
Okay, we'll be back. Any questions? 673-4464.
93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN News Radio.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Okay, it's a Wednesday. That means it's Mike Winter's Lawn Show and Landscaping.
No, you didn't, but that's okay. Lawn and Garden Show.
Lawn and Garden. Ding
I'm,
dong.
I'm no longer a landscape
that's
contractor
true.
Or nursery owner. But I am a landscape consultant, so. Yeah,
I knew I was saying nut.
You're getting part of it right.
Right.
The word landscape was good. In the first segment, I was just talking about, you know, yard transformation and what I did with my first home in Roseburg here. And the net result, like I said, was that other homes on the street, you know, the folks would stop and we'd trade some information, and and you could see the whole street beginning to, you know, do some things. Their yards weren't as bad as mine,
right.
but what they had, they were trimming and fixing and adding to, and pretty soon, you know, the whole street looked, you know, nice. And, and some people went whole hog and really did a nice job, and then others just trimmed what they had and kept them in shape. But at the time, I was too young and stupid to pick up on that, and I thought, oh, good, you know.
It's about time they did something.
Yeah. But you know, like I said, when you start something, when you take a ransacked yard and turn it into something that is easy to look at and is colorful, you know, other people want to know, and they like to follow suit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the way those kinds of things go. And so fix up your yard. You know, if you're on a street with older homes, and Leland Street's very old. It's been there for off of Douglas for, I don't know, since Roseburg began.
Yeah. Older than I am, and that's old.
Oh, I'm sure. They're 99 years old, I think. No. But if you have a yard that is mature, give it some space, add some color, and don't be afraid to prune those huge shrubs to a manageable size. And as I've said this 100 times on this show, for the most part, I would say 95% of anything that you prune heavily will come back, and it'll come back stronger, nicer, because you haven't messed with the root system, and that's where life begins. It's in the root system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, and I've done it with lilacs, I've done it with trees, I've done it with roses, I've done it just any plant you can imagine. I've done that with, except maybe an oak tree or a madrone, and even madrones, you know. Excuse me. When I was doing some logging, doggone it.
Want some water?
No, I got some. I'm drowning now. But I was doing
got water too much
logging. Yeah, I got overwatered logging on my place years ago. You know, loggers, even when they're careful, they things break. And, you know, a few madrones came down here and there, you know, they not real giant ones, but, you know, 15, 20 footers or something like that. They had to get the logs out. I understood that. That was no big deal. But one thing I noticed was that, like, the next year going up there and walking up through the what timber was left, mm-hmm. I noticed that the broken madrones, for instance, were all shooting brand new leaves from the roots. And, I mean, and these were nice, clean cuts. This was a cat running over the top of it and just crushing it. But there were all these brand new leaves were coming up. And within, gosh, another 10, 15 years, you couldn't tell that it had ever, the original tree had been knocked down, because the next one was, you know, 20 feet tall and beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, so... You know, that's it. You're not disturbing the root system. Had they dug out the root, you know, that
would have different,
a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
So pruning is good, and like I say, if you have a yard that is mature, I mean overgrown, give it some space, add some color. Don't be afraid to prune those huge shrubs way down, a manageable size, or even take them out. And they'll thank you with new blooms and a fresh spring look. I mean, that's the way it goes. And I've said in the past, you know, perennials, you know, looking for plants, and but you don't want anything that's going to grow into a large shrub too quickly or anything like. Perennials are an inexpensive plant for the most part. Every store, you know, you can find them at Safeway or any market will have them in the spring.
Yeah.
Plus the Home Depot and all those places. Perennials are, like I say, inexpensive, and they're just a colorful plant to have. Mm. I mean, they're perennial. They stay in the ground. I mean, they live as, like I say, a small shrub, if you will. And you can keep them pruned. You can do all kinds of things with them. And they're inexpensive. and they're, you know, when they bloom, some of them are just loaded with blooms. You can't even see the leaves on the thing.
Wow.
Or the stems, because there's so many flowers on them. And they're going to bloom for many months. You know, some of them will be spring bloomers, and, you know, they'll maybe start blooming in about March, or depending on the weather, March, or sometimes even February. And they'll bloom for a couple of months, and then the others will, won't even start till about April or May. And they'll bloom until about June or July, and then there's others that'll bloom all the way through the summer.
So you got a constant.
Yeah, you got a constant flow of color, and then you've got the fall perennials that bloom in the fall.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is shop around and read up on, you know, every plant packet. If, like, you buy a six-pack of small perennials or something like that in the small plastic packets, they'll have a little identification tag in the pot or whatever.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you, give you all that basic information, when it's blooming, you know the times, will it bloom all year, or it blooms 2 months, or blah, 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 and some brief planting instructions, mm-hmm. and watering instructions, fertilizing instructions. So, you know, you can say, hey, this thing's going to get about 2 feet or 3 feet or 6 feet. You'll that way you can, when you go home, you can plant those things accordingly to where they're actually going to fit. And you're not overplanting, because perennials are easy to take care of and they're easy to prune. They're easy to keep small because they're not an oak tree or anything like that. You know, they're something that anybody can handle. And you can put them in pots too. You know, that's the cool thing about them.
If they're anything like that China vine, boy, they're easy to grow.
I don't know. One of these days, I'm going to go up there to your place.
Okay.
And you give me the address, and I want to see this China vine. Is it still green right now?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
And does it look like it's growing or it's slowed down for the winter?
I think it's slowed down. I got it into a little round area, and it's just staying there.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah. Are you home on Saturdays?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I leave today, give me your address and the phone number at home, and I'll call you one of these Saturdays.
Okay.
Come up. I want to take a look at this.
Deal.
You might have some rare exotic thing from China. Who knows?
Right next to the Easter lily.
Oh, golly. And you planted that on purpose, I'm supposed to. Oh, gosh. But, you know, the perennials, like I say, and they're not the annuals. They're not the... Oh, geraniums and petunias and little things like that. They're good, and they'll last, and they'll bloom all spring and most of the summer, especially petunias if you water them and all that. But they're a one-year, that's it. I mean, now I've had geraniums that I planted on purpose at different landscape places that we were taking care of, like Vanderbank and Winston. Mm-hmm. And I planted this one geranium in a place, kind of by the door, but in a planter. And it had a variegated green leaf and orange flowers, a very, very pretty little plant. And I said, let's see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
Well, you know, all summer it bloomed and it was beautiful and gorgeous. And I thought, hey, that's nice. And then we had a harsh winter. I mean, it was gone. You could tell there was a plant there because there was some dead stems laying on the ground. I thought, well, so far, you know, I tried. We'll see. Well, the following spring, for some reason, I went by there and took a look, and I saw little sprouts coming up from the roots. Little, they were about an inch tall, half inch to an inch tall. I thought, Well, within a month, they were up about 6-8 inches, and another month they were blooming like crazy in like March, you know, end of March. Something.
Cool.
And it's still there to this day.
Is that right?
And I did that, 15 years ago, probably. Oh. And it's still there. It's still growing.
Even snowmageddon.
And it's not supposed to be a perennial.
Somebody messed up.
I know. They mistagged it. But, you know, if you treat them right, they're going to do a good job for you. And like I say, they're easy to plant, they're easy to care for, and they're not overly expensive. You're not looking at a giant, you know, $20 perennial or anything like that. You know, something, $2.95, $3.95 for a gallon or a gallon container or something like that.
Yeah.
Or you can buy a six-pack in the small plastic containers for, you know, $1.95 or $1.75, depending.
What can you get for that?
Pardon?
What can you get for $1.95 these days?
Six flowers.
Six flowers.
But, you know, all of them are hardy. They can survive the cold winters and the hot summers. Yeah. And they're, you know, they're, for your landscape, they're like icing on a cake. So that's what you need to know. And if you are wanting, like, just a plain ground cover that's going to bloom and is hardy, there's one that I planted years ago out in front of the nursery, right next to the highway, because I had a lot of traffic on Highway 99. Mm-hmm. And got dust and all that. So I planted some trees, some weeping blue Atlas cedars, and then I planted some color stuff and some ground cover. And one I planted was called, it's called a Juga.
And, Juga.
Uh-huh, and that's his common name. It hugs the ground. It crawls on the ground. Hmm. It's hardy.
Yeah.
To zone 6. We're in zone 7 here, so you know, the snow didn't hurt it. None of the snows hurt it. None of the ice storms hurt it. And so the heat. They love the heat, and they all still look good, and they spreads. And it's a lot less work than, say, a juniper. You can get by a juniper for a ground cover. And most junipers get fairly large, you know, not real quick, but, you know.
Eventually.
Eventually, yeah. And then it's either a hack job or a pull it out job. Unless you have a continued pruning process,
mm-hmm.
you know, and keeping them in shape, which you can do. But,
yeah,
there are ground cover junipers too, you know. But this Ajuga gets about 6 inches tall and spreads to a minimum 3 feet. But I've had some at the nursery have spread 6-8 feet from one little plant.
Wow!
And to this day, and then, like I said, they've been in 15, 20 years or whatever, and they're still looking good. And just kind of they creep around and they bloom most of the summer. Little purple looking flower, tiny flower, but purple. Bluish purple, and you know, kind of a dark blue, and there's very, very little maintenance to them, and just a little bit of water in the summer, and you got a great ground cover that you don't have to mess with, you don't have to fuss with, and it's so thick that not many weeds can grow through it.
Well, that's a good thing.
We got a break?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, we'll be back.
Here we go. Phone number
673-4464 if you have a question.
On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Very frustrating. Anyway, we're back. Our phone number again, Mike.
673-4464 if you have a question concerning your yard, your trees, how to prune, how to plant, when to water, how much to water, what not to water, all those kinds of things.
We got this directly handed to us from Mr. Kyle.
Oh, what is it?
It says that Highway 138 East westbound at milepost 59 is limited to a single lane due to repairs on a sunken grade. The information from the Oregon Department of Transportation said that is between the Tokadi and Clearwater areas.
Wow.
That's 43 miles east of Glide. Flaggers will provide traffic control. Motorists should expect delays for the next few days. And you can check it online at 541radio.com. So there we go.
Well,
Highway 38 living up to its norm.
Was it a sunken grade, did they say?
Yeah, sunken grade.
Oh, golly.
Must have been all that rain and stuff.
Could be, yeah. I wonder if they still have snow up there.
I think they do.
Huh.
I know Diamond Lake does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been up there in ages.
I haven't either.
Since last year. That's ages for me. But I was talking about, before the break, ground cover called a Juga. And,
Juga.
You know, that it's a real,
I
real
like
good
that name.
Plant.
Juga.
Yeah. Juga.
Juga.
A-J-U-G-A. A Juga.
Sounds like a girl I once knew.
And the common name is Carpet Bugle.
Carpet Bugle.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why, but maybe because the flowers are kind of bugle shaped.
Does it look a little?
Yeah. But it, they're not large flowers, but there's a lot of them, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
That's what counts.
And it's so tough. It just really is tough. A very impressive little plant. But, you know, it's it just takes over an area. So, that, you know, if you want, people say, well, I want low maintenance. Well, that's a good low maintenance ground cover. Mm-hmm. There are others, and there are some junipers that will work, but in time they get fairly large. But there are some ground cover junipers as well that will do a better job than the regular upright junipers.
You prefer, I guess.
Yeah, whatever you prefer. If you got the room to do it, you could go ahead and do it. It doesn't matter. But don't make the mistake and buy these 1 gallon plants and put them 4 feet apart along your driveway. Because I did that once in my old house.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they were so cute. And they were like 49 cents on sale.
Oh.
And I thought, I can afford 49 cents.
Bargain.
So I planted, I think, 5 or 6 of them on the edge of my driveway in a bed that was about 3 feet wide. 4 years later, I was chainsawing them out because they had taken over the driveway practically.
Need a little firewood?
But that was in the days when I didn't know much about the tam junipers.
Quickly learned.
Yeah, I quickly learned, yeah. But the sajuga, it prefers, you know, some afternoon shade. Full sun in the morning, maybe till early afternoon, and then in the hottest part of the day, if it was in a kind of a shady area, that would be its best preference. I mean, it'll grow in full sun, but it looks a whole lot better. And, you know, speaking of perennials, there's only about, this is only one of like 1,500 types of perennials to choose from that you can look up and see.
Oh.
And if you got a plant book, if you bought a Western Garden book, mm-hmm. for instance, and started reading about perennials in there, there's over 1,500 varieties.
You can always Google it, too.
Oh, yeah, Google it. I like books because they show pictures.
And it's, yeah.
Maybe Google show pictures, too, but I don't know.
They do sometimes,
yeah,
depending on what you're looking for.
I know. So, in addition to perennials, there are quite a few small evergreens, not junipers, but evergreens to add in some of your vacant spots.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, most juniper, they'll grow and spread 5-6 feet, so you got to be careful what you select. There's some that are slower growing and smaller. But you need to go to a real nursery where real people know how these things grow and seen how they grow. So
AI won't do you any good.
No, it ain't going to help you at all. Because you want to buy one that's going to fit in. It's going to fit in a smaller area. And and the one that I'm thinking of right now is called the Japanese Garden Juniper, and it grows very slowly. To about 8 inches tall, you know, that's easy. And it spreads, so say 4 to 5, maybe 6 feet in, you know, 10 years. And this plant is perfect for like a tough spot in a full sun on a slope with poor soil and all that kind of stuff. But once it's established after the first year, it needs very little care. I mean, that's how cool they are. It has a kind of a light green color, and it also makes a good bonsai plant. If you want to start doing bonsai, you started reaching for the trigger up there.
I saw Kyle. I thought he was coming in.
Oh, so, I see.
But he's still.
We're safe.
We're safe for now.
But if you want to grow smaller plants and slower growing plants, there are many dwarf plants to choose from. And one suggestion I make is you can buy an illustrated plant book, and the box stores have them, and you can actually go to the library and look in the horticultural section, and you'll have good full color photos of plants at their full capacity, how large they are, how far apart you should plant them, and there's a lot of information out there. All you have to do is dig it out. But like I say, a good illustrated plant book from a box store. You got it. It costs you, you know, $5.95 or $9.95, I think. I used to buy them for $2.95.
Oh, yeah.
They ain't $2.95 no more.
Who are we going to blame that on?
I don't know. I'm not going to mention any names.
Darn, I thought I'd trick you.
But you can go and peruse these things, and you can see how many plants that fit well into small spaces. And I've harped on that over the years about too many plants, too close together, right, in small spaces, and what you have is a nightmare. Mm. 5 years down the road, having to dig them out or dig all of them out, every other one out, or something to do.
That ain't no fun either.
No, that's not a lot of fun, and it's hard work, and it doesn't look good because you'll get some dying branches and all that kind of stuff. But if you have a deck or a patio, maybe you're in a condo or an apartment or anything like that, and you have a deck or a patio, the dwarf plants that I've been talking about, they grow well in pots. Get a good size pot, and something that's say 12 to 16 inches in diameter and 18 inches deep, so it has plenty of soil, and you can some of these like these dwarf garden junipers and the Japanese garden juniper, those kinds of things, they'll stay there. They'll be good for 10 years, 15 years in those, if you give them normal care.
Oh, nice.
and they decorate a patio up, and you can have some pots with those kinds of things in it, and then some pots with the perennials, so you can have your evergreens and your color, and then evergreen and color, lining your deck, lining your patio, lining your sidewalk.
Yeah.
And that's easy landscape. And you can take care of them, and it's not a big labor, intensive labor thing, day after day or anything like that. So, it's good to do. You were reaching for somebody who's calling.
No, not yet.
And like I said, if you want smaller growing plants like dwarf plants, there's hundreds to choose from that only get 2-3 feet. And only maybe spread 2 or 3 feet at 15 years old.
That's about right.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah. And they look good. And if you have a small yard or no yard and just a deck or a porch, that's the kind of plant you want to have in that stuff. And now's a good time to take a look, because the plants that have been left over the winter in the different nurseries, especially the box stores, they'll be down to the nubbins. They haven't got any of their plant, their new plants in for next spring yet. Mm-hmm. That won't happen for a couple more months. But you can see what they have and probably get a good price on them, because they want to move them. They want to get them out of there. And so this is a good time to buy,
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Move them out.
Yeah. But if you go to a regular nursery who actually raises plants and knows how to take care of them, you're going to have more of a selection, and the plants will be, I would say, in better condition, better shape, that kind of thing. But one thing, if in a deck or a patio planter, is small, slow-growing Japanese maples. They make a great potted plant. And some Japanese maples, they'll get in the ground, they can get 15, 20 feet. But then there's some that only grow 3 feet. And there's so many varieties to choose from. And you get a small one and put it in a nice planter and have it on your porch, something like that. A little pruning and shaping keeps them small. And like in my bones, you got your hand on the trigger.
Oh, I'm just waiting for a good time for a break.
Oh, go ahead, take a break.
Okay. More with Mike Winters on the other side. And the phone number,
673-4464, if you have a question.
We're waiting for you. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, here we come. Well, we're back, and remind them about our phone number.
673-4464.
Thank you.
And if you have a question on anything, lawns, trees, shrubs, sprinklers, whatever. But I'm going to wrap it up here with my my bonsai collection. I have many Japanese maples that are like 15 to 20 years old, and I've kept them pruned to 15 to 18 inches tall, and they're, 20 years old, and they're in a small pot.
It's like about like that?
Yeah, a little bit larger than that. And they're lush. They look good every spring. They come out. They look like a big tree, only they're not. If they had been in the ground, they would have been 10 feet tall or 8 feet tall or something like that, or even taller than that. And, they require a little bit more water in hot weather. And I fertilize them in the spring and the fall, but very lightly. And as long as you pay attention to their growth, and I'm talking about your potted plants that you might have, they will be beautiful year round. But before you start, like I say, get some professional advice about what does this plant need to survive and look great. And like on my bonsai, they do best in like morning sun and afternoon shade. And I got them in a perfect spot because the mountain in the hot summer, we're shady at 5:30, quarter to six.
Nice.
So you got 3 more hours of sunlight, which is really hot, and we don't get it. And as soon as the sun goes behind the ridge, then the breeze starts, and then you go out there and sprinkle them. You don't soak them, you just sprinkle them.
Sure.
And they look good.
Have a barbecue, whatever.
No, I'm not with my bonsai, you know. Oh, gosh. When it's 80 degrees or more, I water a little bit, every other day, maybe sparingly. My wife helps me out, too. She doesn't. She says, that's kind of, looks like they need some moisture. Because just keep them moist, not soaked. And a simple rule, I've said this many, many times, too, if the leaves are curling on the ends and they're browning out on the ends, that indicates too much water. That's what they do. If the leaves are drooping on the tips and they're just kind of hanging down, kind of limp, then it needs water. So simply feel the soil in the pot is another quick check. But, keep an eye on your plants. If you got, especially if you bought some expensive plants, maybe junipers that are modeled into, pruned into something, or Japanese maples, something like that. But bonsai pots that I have are small. And very shallow. They're maybe 3 to 5 inches deep. So the roots are very close to the surface. So we keep an eye on them every day. Just glance at them, look at them. And if we know it's going to be 100 degrees, go ahead and water them in the morning so they can get through that day. And if it's 100 degrees the next day, water them again the next morning. Because like I say, and it's very well-drained soil. So the soil doesn't sit in the pots. It drains right through. But at least it keeps the plants alive.
Oh, yeah.
And you just got to get used to it. You just got to look at your plants and learn what they need. And in no time at all, if you pay attention to what's happening to their growth, are they slow? Are they fast? Are they drooping? Are the leaves drying up? And they look like, that's what fakes most people out. They'll say, my leaves are turning brown and they're crinkling on the ends and I keep watering them. Stop. Don't do it anymore. That means you're rotting the roots and there's no nutrition going up and they can't live because there's no oxygen.
It's kind of like if you pay attention to your vehicle, you drive it day after day, you know what that noise is.
Exactly. Exactly. You just need to,
pay attention to the little things.
Yeah. And like I say, the bonsai pots are very, very shallow and they're small. And so you keep an eye on them. And after a while, you just kind of glance at them and you can tell. So you can do the same thing as you get used to the plants that you have in your yard. And the same principle applies to, of course, newly planted trees and shrubs in the ground. Mm-hmm. After a year in the ground, the roots are well developed and water is not so critical.
Right.
maybe twice a month, something like that. And that's good to go. You don't have to do it any more than that, because that root system is it's like an iceberg. It's like an iceberg, you know. You see the top, and well, the root system, even though it's got a lot of roots, it's got a massive roots feeding that top. It has to be an equalization.
Oh, you know? Okay, okay.
If there's less roots, then you don't get the top growth. But if you're getting good, lush top growth, that means that that root system is vibrant. It's working. It's doing its thing. And there's literally thousands of hair roots down there taking this moisture and the nutrition from the soil and sending them up the tree.
Up to the tree.
That's how she works. And by the overwatering, you rot and destroy the hair roots that are the workers of the mm-hmm. tree or the shrub. So you just kind of go light on that. And you can always add water, but you can't take it out.
Take it out.
You know, just think about that. Oh, my gosh. It's better to have them on a little bit on the dry side. And then get to know your plants.
Sure.
There's some that, hey, they want a lot of water. And then there's some that just don't. And there's some in the middle. And that's why you have to educate yourself and get a plant book or talk to an expert or call me for a consultation, and I'll tell you what the heck's going on with your yard. And you go, oh, no, man. Anyway, next week I'm going to start talking about bare root stock. Bare root season is just around the corner. That means you can buy trees and shrubs in no pots, and they're cheaper.
There you go.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, some assembly required.
Some assembly required, like digging a hole.
Get out there and get your muscles going.
Yes, you have to warm up real good.
There you go.
So, see you next week.
All right, it's been fun.
Okay.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. The Afternoon Report is next.